In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today is called the Sunday of Temptation. And usually, there is a lot of temptations with the beginning of Lent. And somehow, during or around this Sunday of Temptation, we all know temptation. We all have been tempted and are being tempted throughout our lives. And even the Lord Jesus Christ Himself was tempted. And that's why this gospel is read for us. In order to know your enemy, in order to get ready, and in order to defend yourself and to fight the good fight. The spiritual life is like any life. Has the fun, has the enjoyment, but has the war also. And I hope that we are prepared for such a thing. They say that the devil usually wants to lead us into two extremes. Whether never to believe that he exists or he does anything, or make you paranoid and make you really focus on him. And actually, we don't want to take either way. A lot of people blame the devil for everything and anything, and a lot of other people deny that the devil exists or want to put them down. We don't want to take any of these two extremes. That's why we want to tell you who are the enemies that we have. Because our enemies that tempt us, not only the devil, but there is three major things that tempt you and me and any one of us. The first enemy actually is the flesh, our flesh. The second enemy is the world. And the third enemy is the devil. And believe it or not, this is in the correct order from the strength and from the severity of temptation. The flesh is number one, and number two is the world, and number three is the devil. The devil is powerful, don't get me wrong. And he does tempt a lot the same way he did with the Lord, but he is limited in what he can do. St. Augustine said before that no one can hurt you more than yourself. There is no one can hurt you more than what you can hurt yourself. Definitely other people can hurt you, but not more than how you can hurt yourself. How do we resist the temptation of the flesh, the world, and the devil? We're going to say seven words. Two to resist the world, and two to resist the flesh, and two and three to resist the devil. And I hope that we can somehow memorize them. We protect ourselves from the world through two things, through diligence and denial. And we're going to talk about each one of them separately. And we are going to fight according to the flesh through struggle and crucifixion. And with the devil, we're going to wrestle, resist, and war. So the first one in resisting the world is the diligence. Let me tell you that the three temptations that the Lord Himself went through, they were the same. First, the temptation of the bread. This is temptation of what? Flesh. Another temptation, he showed him all the world and its glory. So the second temptation is the world. Third temptation, he told him to worship me. So the third one is the devil. Is that clear? So the flesh, the world, and the devil. We're going to switch the order a little bit. We're going to start with the world first. First of all, that the devil uses the three of that to resist us. The devil puts thoughts in our head or fights us with thoughts to move the desires of the flesh to accept the temptation of the world. We're going to say this again. The devil puts a lot of thoughts to move the desires of the flesh to the glory of or the vainglory of the world. And I hope that this is clear. So the three are just mixed together, and we are going to talk about them in these seven words. The first one is diligence. This word, we don't talk about it a lot. When we talk about spiritual warfare, we speak about the devil. But believe me, the people who are hurt because of the lack of diligence are much more than the people who are hurt by the wars of the devil. And let me repeat these verses for you. In Romans 12:11, St. Paul said, "Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner, what diligence it produced in you." He wants to say, there is no spiritual life without diligence. There is no success in life without diligence. And spiritual life is like any other life. If there is no diligence, there is no movement, there is no life, there is no spiritual life without diligence. As I told you, the opposite of diligence is what? Laziness. And laziness is one of the seven deadly or major sins. One of the things is that you review yourself daily. To tell you the truth, when I first was using the self-examination, I thought that laziness is the last thing that I have. And I always used to skip that. Until I read a little bit about diligence. And anything that's against diligence is laziness. Any lack of diligence is laziness. Laziness is not lying on the couch and doing absolutely nothing. That's not laziness. Laziness is not doing your best and not being diligent in the spiritual life. St. Paul said to the Corinthians here, "For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner." Sorrowed in a godly manner, what does it mean? It means that you repented. When you repented, what diligence it produced in you? And let me ask you this question. When you repent, does it create a lot of diligence in your spiritual life? Does it motivate you? Does it fill you with zeal for God? What kind of diligence do you have in the Word of God? What diligence you have in the prayer or in waking up early? Or in doing your quiet time, or in serving the Lord, what kind of diligence? Can you label yourself as a diligent one working for the Lord or not? Because let me tell you, the world wanna distract us with so many things. We are diligent for the world, but not diligent for God. I know a lot of people are very successful. A lot of people are very, very energetic in their work. But when it comes to God, they're not the same. It's like different personality. So who is sucking the diligence and the zeal in your life? What are you zealous most about? What are you diligent most about? And I really pray that it is your spiritual life. He said also, "But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence. And again, he repeats the same words, and Peter repeats that, "For also, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence at your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge." In all diligence. Work very hard in your virtue to add faith to your virtue and to the virtue knowledge. I can go on in these verses, but it will take forever. And finally, St. Paul wishes and desires, we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. I hope that you keep all diligence until the end, until the day of the Lord. You know where diligence starts from? Diligence starts from admitting that I am lazy. Again, laziness is not lying on a couch doing nothing, but not being diligent in the work of God. Being negligent, maybe, in the work of God. And not taking it as serious as a life-threatening thing. So this is the first thing in this world. The second is the denial. Remember the temptation of the Lord when he told him, why don't you turn this stone to become bread? And he totally took him to somewhere else and he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from God's mouth. The world will distract us with so many things. There is a lot of shiny things in the world. There is a lot of things that will attract our attention. There is a lot of needs. There is a lot of good things around. You know how we usually respond to them? Do you know how my soul and your soul respond to things in the world? When we see different things, I want this, and I want to try that, and I like this, and I would like to become like this. We want everything and anything we see. Denying ourselves is being, I want to use the right word. I don't want to say being strict with yourself, but being ghilis with yourself. I can't find the right word. You know, being ghilis with yourself? No. Harsh? Maybe. Harsh is not ghilis, but... denying the self. You know when St. Peter denied the Lord, he said what? He said, I don't know this man. Can you tell yourself, I do not know you? That's what the Lord said. He said, you're hungry. You need to eat. He said, I don't know you. Seems like I don't have a flesh. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The world will present you so many things. And there is a lot of things that will attract your eye. How will you respond to that? The only response to this is if that you deny yourself. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Every day, I and you need to deny ourselves from the world, from the needs of the world, from the glory of the world, from the shining things of the world. How would you respond to that? I do not know you, but you have needs. I do not know you. But it's good. I do not know you. You need it. No, I don't. For a lot of people, they believe in their needs and they believe in their wants and in desires more than what we believe in God. We need to deny the self in order to grow in God. Don't think that your only enemy is the devil. Your first enemy is yourself. Believe that or believe it or not. Jesus didn't tell you, deny the devil and come and follow me. No, he said, deny yourself. You will never be able to say no to the devil or to the world before you say to yourself first, no. No. I don't want to become like this person. I don't want to compare myself to this person. I don't want any of these things that are in the world. He makes you look down, make this stone to become bread, make him look up. Tell him there is God up there. Man shall not live by bread alone. Turn worldly things to heavenly things. You know what? If we don't deny ourselves, what would happen to us? The worst thing can ever happen to me and you, which is the selfishness. Whether you want to call it the selfishness or self-centeredness, or ego, whatever you want to call it, but it's the same, it's focusing on myself. You know, most of the problems happens in marriage. It happens before of selfishness. Everyone is just looking unto himself, and my needs, and my rights, and my desires, and my goals, and my dreams. Why? Because we didn't learn how to deny ourselves. It will start from you. And when you see things, the problem is our self or our ego or whatever you want to call it keeps growing. When you feed it, when you give it what it needs, you know what's your worst enemy in fasting? It's the things around you. Why fasting is so difficult here? A lot of people who are fasting for years back home, when they come here, they can't fast. Why? Because the world, the temptation is so great. It's so different. And I'm not used to say no. Back there, I didn't have to say no because there was nothing around. But when there is a lot of things and when there is a lot of options around, can I say no? Can I deny myself? We know how to deny ourselves in the little things. But when you have so many things and many, many options, when you give yourself glory and honor and praise and desires and everything, the self grow. That's exactly the opposite of what St. John Chrysostom, St. John the Baptist said, that he must increase, but I must decrease. Do you feel that yourself is decreasing with time and Jesus is growing and the focus is more on him and on his word, and you're saying that man shall not live by bread alone, or you are attracted with what's in the world? So that's the second struggle we have. So the devil is not number one. It's the you have the world and yourself wanting what's in the world. So the diligence, the denial. And the third thing in fighting myself is the struggle. The word struggle is not the very correct word, and it's translated to many translations. But the best one of them is repeated in that verse that was said about Jesus, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. The word agony. The word agony is someone under a lot of stress, pressure, suffering, struggle, whatever you want to call it, in order to reach a certain goal. It's exactly what happens to the athletes when they want to race or when they want to accomplish a goal. They strive so much. They are so strict with themselves. They are in agony in their training. And when you see them racing, they are like sweating. You know, the same thing that was happened with Christ. They are like sweating blood in order to reach their goal. And I want to ask you a question. Do you have a goal? Do you have any agony or a struggle to reach that goal? Because if you have no goal, you're going to reach nowhere. Do you have a goal at least for this Lent? How much should you struggle with yourself in order to reach your goals? As I said, it's not the world will just tempt you, but it's up to yourself whether you want to accept that or not. How much do we have agony or struggle or pressure in order to reach a goal? How many goals do we have? How many spiritual goals? St. Paul said that, having the same conflict or agony which you saw in me and now here to be in me. You are having the same struggle that I have in order to reach our goal. And later on he said to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever felt that you're striving so much to reach your goal? I know that a lot of people strive so much to reach a certain weight for themselves, to lose weight. And I don't know how much people struggle to lose or quit a sin or to to serve the Lord, to reach a goal, to quit something, to attain a virtue. St. Paul in the end said a very nice word at the very end of his life to Timothy. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have fought the good fight. Like the fight is the agony that I told you about. It was all the same word in Greek, agonia. So, the flesh desires against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. So in order to reach a spiritual goal, we need to be strict with ourselves and with our bodies. Couple of things I see as an obstacle in so many people's lives. One of them is sleeping, for example, and not able to wake up early. That's why when someone wants to become a monk, they tell him, first thing that you need to do is you have to wake up in the middle of the night and pray. You have to break your sleep. You can't sleep all these hours without breaking them with praising the Lord. So one of the things in order to reach your goal is you have to fight the sleep, or you have to fight the desires of food through fastings. And I see this one of the difficult things. We spoke about diligence, and the opposite of diligence is laziness. If you give yourself everything, and if you spoil yourself, we are not anywhere near this struggle or this agony or this, I can't in the end say, I have fought a good fight. The Lord wants us to do that in order to grow and in order to win the battle against the flesh. The fourth thing against the flesh is the crucifixion. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its desires and passion. This verse is not here. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its desires and passion. And here it says in Romans, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Put to death here, it's a word in Greek called nekro. Some of you, maybe in a biological field, may know the word of necrosis. Some people, anyone who nods here, know the necrosis. It's the death that happens to any of the members of the body. How? When you stop feeding them blood, they will die. Or when you stop using them. Whatever, if you stop the air and the feeding, the blood from these members, they will end up dying. And the Lord wants us to do that with our flesh. Not with the flesh itself to die in the flesh, but to die in the desires of the flesh. To stop the things that feeds the flesh. I know when I sit down with such a person, I know that it feeds my flesh, and it feeds the curiosity that I have, and it feeds the gossip, and it feeds the lust, or it feeds different things in my flesh. Then if I want to die in the flesh, then I want to stop going there. That's exactly what the Lord said. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and throw it away. If your hands causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. That's the death. That's the crucifixion. That's the necrosis that He wants us to do. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. It's to decrease what feeds the flesh and the desires of the flesh, and to increase what goes with the Spirit. When we go to heaven, we will see a lot of martyrs that lost their hands or their feet or their tongue or their heads. And maybe the Lord will ask us, what did you lose? Remember, the Lord said something, you may think it's funny, but it's not. He said, it's better for you to go to the kingdom of heaven lame or blind than to go to hell with your two hands or two eyes. When we go there and we tell him that we were tempted severely, he said, why didn't you cut it out? Why didn't you stop that? Why? If you know that your problem is the TV, how come you haven't thrown it away from the balcony? I know that a lot of people did that. Throw it away from the balcony so it's, maybe you don't have a balcony, but you can do something creative in destroying that machine. I knew people did that. They plugged out their eye and they cut their ear. Are you used to that? A lot of times we are not harsh with ourselves. We're so sympathetic and so easygoing with ourselves. That's not the Bible. That's not the word of Christ. Christ, the most gentle person in the universe, he said, cut your hands if it causes you to sin. How many hands did you cut? And how many eyes? So, before we blame the devil, I think there is a lot that we think about. Not only that we cut the flesh, but we increase the spirit. We cut the fleshly things, and we increase the spiritual things. I fight with people during Lent to decrease a little bit from the TV and from the activities in order to increase the spiritual activities. And it seems like, you know, I'm telling them something out of this world or telling something crazy. It's not. It's not. Unless we put to death by the Spirit the deeds of the flesh. So that's the war against the world, and that's the war against ourselves. There is three things against the devil, but we spoke about it before, and you know, we're just going to mention them because there is no time for them. One of them is wrestling. Do you know that we wrestle? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. What's the goal of any wrestling? To pin someone down, right? You know, if you pin him down, then you won the wrestling. Right? Pin someone down. ثبت على لمس اكتاف. So the wrestling, the goal of the devil is to be in control over you, to pin you down, to be in control. And that needs, when we become useless to Christ and totally under the devil's control through different things and through different sins and through different temptations and things like this, in the end, his goal is to pin us down and to put us under his control. That's the wrestling. The resistance is, it says in Ephesus, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand or resist in the evil day, having done all to stand. The goal of resisting the devil is not to be moved. God will give you a lot of great things. God will give you a lot of spiritual things in your life. But the best thing is how you keep it up, not to be moved. Every one of us, we're in a spiritual high. We all receive the great things from God, but we move quickly from that. So how to resist? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And, you know, there is a lot of things about resisting the devil and not accepting him, not accepting his thoughts. The best thing in resisting the devil is when you examine yourself daily. Examining yourself daily makes the big difference. When you examine your thoughts, where he's taking you, if he's devouring you with a thought or with a new thing or not. And the last thing is war against the devil. And that's not for everyone. It says here, For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's actually for the servants of God. God gives them the authority to war against the devil, to be proactive, to go to the people who are obsessed and the people who are completely under the obedience and under the control of the devil, and try to war against him and get him get the people out of their control. That's when we have a war against him. I commit you, son Timothy, that you may wage the good warfare. As I said, that this is for the servants. For us, we know that we need to be diligent in our spiritual life. We need to deny ourselves. We need to struggle and have agony in order to reach our goal. And we need to crucify the flesh, because these are the real enemies that the devil would use in order to move the flesh towards the world. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.